It's 27 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's great to have on the line our very good friend, our resident, if you like, lawyer, chairman of Edion Lawyers, Steve Brown. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Pleasure, Jim. Hi, Darren. How are you?
Really good. We hope you had a very, at least in some part, restful Easter. I know how busy you are with meetings and seminars and clients and so on. I thought we'd turn our attention today and look at the Freedom of Information Act, or just stuff about information. We live in a world, it was interesting, I heard this morning Mark Spielman is talking about the whole area of defamation and different things and what can be published and what, or you know, the whole debate about what can be published about people and so on. So I thought we might just home in on, when we talk about Freedom of Information Act or the Freedom of Information, where does that come from? And just a general story, so people, if they're interested in finding stuff up, what are the road bumps, what are the open doors and so on, just in a general sense?
The current law is in New South Wales is under the Government Information Public Access Act. It used to be called Freedom of Information, but I believe the government changed it about 10 years ago, because I think they thought the concept of free meant you were entitled to access, whereas what's now called GIPA, Government Information Public Access Act, doesn't have that connotation to it, so they've changed it. The GIPA legislation is a recognition that a lot of businesses, and in particular a lot of government departments, maintain records about you, and it's important to get to have the ability to obtain what records they have, to verify them, to make sure they're correct, to ensure that the information that a government department has about you is in fact accurate. For instance, I was involved with a matter just recently where a particular person was employed by a public or a private body, and their contract was taken away, but it wasn't renewed, and then they applied to work with children, and all of a sudden they were told, you've got a banning order because your previous employer has lodged a report against you for alleged sexual misconduct. Now,
sorry, Steve. So, sorry to interrupt, but you know the case very well and the particulars. Darren and I just want to, can you put that in a context? This is a real case. The person didn't know that there'd been this lodgment?
No, they had no idea that any allegation had been levelled against them at all until the Office of the Guardian of Children issued them with a banning order based upon their application to get authorisation to work with children. And the particular place that they were employed by was a school. And this allegation arose about 8 months after they even ceased employment at the school. And they then uncovered that we tried to get information from the school and the school wouldn't give it to us, because the school, not being a public school, wasn't subject to any GIPA, and we had no ability, unless we sued them, to force them to disclose any information. But from talking with the school and their lawyers, we then discovered that it was in fact an allegation made to the police. The police had never contacted this woman, and she knew nothing about it. And so, being ignorant, what we needed to do was make a GIPA application to the police to get a copy of the investigation. And we were able to lodge the particular application. And by getting the application, we then discovered that, yes, there were allegations made against her. Yes, the police had investigated it, but the police believed that there was insufficient information to even warrant them talking to the alleged complainant, or the alleged offender, and so she was never investigated. So all of this happened without her knowledge whatsoever, and but for the GIPA Act, we wouldn't have been able to get access to the New South Wales Police report and thereby clear her name. So it's a useful information, a useful act to have. What people do need to appreciate is that there are various government departments and there's not one standard form under the Act. Every department, so education, fire and rescue, forestry, greyhound racing, eye care, planning, New South Wales Police, Treasury, whoever, have their own different forms. So you need to look on the website to get the appropriate GIPA form. Many of the forms have different requests for information. Often, if a lawyer is acquiring the information on behalf of a client, we need to also supply verification of identity that we are acting for the particular person whose information we're seeking. So it's useful. It can cost. There can be fees incurred. And in some cases, some of the information we got in that police investigation was redacted. For example, the name of the complainant was a student at the school who alleged that there some inappropriate behaviour had occurred, and it was never verified. And as I say, the police never took it very far at all. But the mere fact that the investigation had taken place resulted in the Office of the Children and Guardian placing a banning order on this person based upon events that, one, never took place, and two, she was never aware of. So it's a very useful piece of information to have.
My silence is, I'm just floored by that. I want to come back and talk about the complexity between those different departments in relation to those allegations and talk a little bit more about GIPA and different things. You're on Alive 90.5 with Spotlight with Darren and Jim and Ethan, and we're speaking with our very good friend Stephen Brown, Chairman of Edion Lawyers, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
Alive 90.5.
It's a quarter to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We've just been, and again, my silence is one of bewilderment, but we're very fortunate to have Stephen Brown, the chairman of Edion Lawyers, a very well-known and mature legal firm, talking to us about really important matters. And this morning we've been talking about the freedom of information, which really is called, or looking at what's called GIPA. And I think that stands for General Information Privacy Act. And you mentioned, Stephen, there's a couple of things I want to ask. So sorry if I seem rude that I'm cutting across, because it's just blown away. Would that mean that those allocations that were made against that person, would they be able to go and teach in a school again? Because they applied 7 months later. We're just talking a little bit at the break. Or is that there forever, or is it? How does that play out?
Well, what happens is that you have to get a working with children certificate.
Yes, yep.
And the application has been made for that certificate for this particular person. I can't tell you the end of the story, because
yeah, sure.
We're waiting on the Office of Children and Guardian to come back to us. So it's a recent matter that's going on in the firm. So we're waiting for it. But if they get the certificate, then yes, they'll be able to go back and teach again. If they don't get the certificate, then no, they won't. And then we'll need to make up further applications. But it would be a travesty of justice if the person was prevented from teaching as a consequence of allegations of some mischievous students who appear to have just made these allegations up because they had nothing better to do against someone who wasn't even a teacher at the time.
I'm sorry, I've just, it's really blown me away. Stephen, in terms of GIPA, what other areas does it specifically look at in relation? That was the allegations of sexual misconduct and that behaviour.
It looks at any government department. So it is only applicable to a government department. So the government information of public access is the full name of the Act. And if a government department keeps a record of you, you are entitled to access the record, subject to the government saying, well, there is certain information we need to keep secret for security reasons or police investigation reasons. For example, in the case we were talking about, the names of the complainants to the police were redacted. So the particular individual, what we can surmise who it may have been, we don't know that for a fact because their name wasn't in the police investigation report that we were able to ascertain. But if you're a plumber and the New South Wales Fair Trading will have a report and will have records about you as a plumber and the number of complaints. So if you were wanting to check what information the New South Wales Fair Trading had and you asked for the information and they refused to give it to you, then you could make a GIPR application. Similarly, you know, with Safe Work, if there was issues with Safe Work, you could ask for a copy of your report or records that they have there. It's really any government department. Local government also applies. So if you're wanting to get information from the local government as to what they hold or have over you, you can make an application and see what records they have. If it's private information, then you'd be looking under the Privacy Act.
Okay, well, interestingly, you emphasise New South Wales, so I suspect from that the GIPR legislation is different from each state?
Yes. It's not vastly different. A lot of the information, so the federal legislation is slightly different. There's other states, I think some of the other states do call it freedom of information still. We used to call it freedom of information, but as I say, it was changed a while ago to GIPR. For all intents and purposes, for purposes of today, the information or the ability to access it is fairly much the same. It's the process and the costs are the main differences with it. There are obviously slight differences when you're making appeals within the different legislation, but for all intents and practical purposes, they're essentially one and the same. They're all the same.
Stephen, that's been very valuable information, I think, for people and nearly even a wake-up call with regards to matters. I think, and I congratulate you both, Darren and I, for giving us a very practical understanding of this information or opportunity not to get this information. What information in legislation is not available? You did talk about security and different things and so on, but, you know, in a general sense, what other information is not allowed to be given to the inquirer?
If it was, say, if people have made a complaint, you're a real estate agent, and someone complained against you, the name of the complainant could be withheld. They might not disclose that. They often will ask third parties whether they're prepared for their names or for particular records they have to be disclosed. And if the person says no, then the department will generally not disclose it. It's private information of third parties is generally not disclosed. Insofar as the police or investigation is concerned, factual details that they think may detrimentally impact upon an ongoing investigation won't be disclosed. So if the GIPR application of this particular person, if the investigation was still ongoing, we may not have got anything, because it may have jeopardised insofar as the police are concerned, it may have jeopardised their future investigations, and therefore they may have just totally refused to give out any information. But because this particular investigation had been finalised completely and it had been decided it was a frivolous or stroke mischievous investigation promulgated by a mischievous student, then we were able to get most of it. So it really depends upon what the department is doing at the time, whether there's an ongoing investigation as to the extent of information you get. The longer, if you're looking for information 10 or 15 years ago, you're more likely to get that, whereas if it's information that's relevant to an ongoing say, investigation of a department against you, then you're not likely to get that sort of information. That's generally what it's about. I don't know what. Yeah, over to you.
Well, Steve, we've run out of time. I think the topic that you and I have selected today and Darren has been a very important one for people to at least be aware of and understand the implications. We've been speaking with Stephen Brown, the chairman of Etion Lawyers. Both Darren and I are always grateful for your expertise and knowledge, particularly as it relates to legal matters. Have a wonderful day. I hope your mum's well. And please say hello to Susan. And we're just grateful that you come on our show and let our listeners know about really pertinent matters. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure. Look after yourselves. Bye, everyone.
Well, have a great morning.
Alive 90.5.